Jesus. Let's just pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can come boldly before your throne, and we can stand in your presence, knowing that we've been clothed with righteousness, that we have been clothed with the garments that Jesus has clothed us with, garments of righteousness, and we can stand in the holy presence. And so, Father, we just thank you that the door that you have opened up for us, such a great door, sins forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed, purged from all of that wickedness, and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and boldly coming before the throne of our God. So, Father, we just thank you for this door that you've opened up for us, and the goodness that you have poured upon us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to speak today on the power of repentance. The power of repentance. And I'm going to take four incidents from this Old Testament. They cover individuals, they cover nations. And it's important to understand how things operate in the realms of the spirit and in life in general. People quite often talk about judgment. But think about this for a moment. When a person makes a decision that they're going to go and start to take drugs, what do you expect going to happen to them? It's a consequence. You'll find not too long down that journey that you're speaking to an addict. And one of the things you must remember about life is in the garden, the temptation was, you take of that fruit and you will be as God, knowing good and evil. So now that you know good and evil, you make your own decision. God's not making your decision for you. But what he does is say, he gives his word and he says, if you want life, here's the way of life. If you want to follow death, well, here's the way of death. And you reap what you sow. Because you don't follow the plans and purposes of God. And so God gives you an opportunity, now you make your own decisions. And you have to take responsibility for your own decisions. And of course that gets lots of people in trouble. And people talk about judgment. But when you want to know about judgment, you look to the cross. Because the Bible says on the cross, God poured his wrath on his son. He poured his wrath on his son because his son became sin on the cross. And he became sin to take away your sin. And so God put his wrath upon his son. But what happens in daily life, often people keep reaping what they're sowing because they will not turn to the word of God. And we get it throughout our scripture. And the first person we want to look at is found in Psalm 51. Have you ever heard the expression, if you don't ask, you don't get? You hear that expression?
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you don't get. Well, Psalm 51 is the position of a man who was in a hard place. It's David. And he is in a place where he has committed two great sins before God. And he acknowledges in that psalm, against you, O Lord, and only against you have I sinned. And so he acknowledges he's sinning against the living God. But he's got a big problem because he's committed two great sins and the law never made any way for forgiveness. Never made any way for redemption. There was no sacrifice that he could bring so he could lay it and would deal with his sin. And so, what does he do? You don't ask, you don't get. So David cried out to God, have mercy upon me. have mercy upon me. And so he made this great cry from his heart to the Lord. And David had a number of major areas where he sinned. He sinned in transgression. What is transgression? The Bible tells us it's a falling away from God. It's a violation of God's commandments. It's rebellion. If you went to Psalm 50, verse 17, you could get a good definition. Seeing you hate instruction, and you've cast away my words. Transgressing God's law, coming against the commandments of God. And that's what the New Testament says. Sin is a transgression of the law. But notice what caused the transgression. It tells us in verse 3, my sin is ever before me. Not my sins, plural. He said that my sin is ever before me. He couldn't get away from his sin. He couldn't get away from the conviction. He couldn't get away from the condition he was in. And he was stopped and he was caught there. And he cried upon the Lord for mercy. He called upon God for mercy. And so his sin was ever before him. And the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And the Bible goes further and says all have sinned. All have sinned. There's not one righteous person that's ever been born except one. And his name is Jesus. All have sinned. Of course, the other thing was iniquity. His iniquity. The gross injustice, his wickedness, his violations of right and moral nature and character, his absence of spiritual values, are turning aside from the straight path, hence perversion, depravity. And so he was involved in these great sins before God, adultery and murder. You know, in iniquity, the psalmist describes iniquity as being turned aside from Jehovah with a deceitful bow. Being turned aside by a deceitful bow. Hosea goes on to say, like a deceitful bow had returned, but he never returned to the Most High. So iniquity causes us to go off the paths of righteousness. But see, David's sin acknowledged, David's repentance acknowledged his sin before God, and he cried to God for mercy. And he acknowledged that God was the one he sinned against. And the Bible said David found mercy. David found mercy before God. He reaped some of the problems of his life, but he found mercy. Because he repented of himself, he humbled himself before God. Another person in the scripture is Daniel. In Daniel verse 9, verse 3, we read, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now Daniel was a man who was captured in his younger years, and he spent all his life in Babylon. But he rose very high in Babylon because he could interpret visions and dreams. And by this time, he's quite an old man. And he comes across the words of Jeremiah the prophet. And the words of Jeremiah the prophet gave a time period of how long the children of Israel would be in Babylon. And Daniel, as he came across this and he was reading this, he said, the 70 years is just about up. These 70 years are nearly complete. So what did he do? He turns and he sets his face to seek the living God. And as he seeks him in prayer and in his supplications, he heard, as Maria said, he was fasting, he put on sackcloth and ashes, he humbled himself.
And then Daniel begins to enumerate the sins of the people, including his own sin. He said, we have committed iniquity. We have turned from the path of righteousness. We have turned from your ways, O God. And all the things that you have listed in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, what happens when we turn from you? They said, I've been following us. They've all come upon us. We've done wickedly. Of the generations who sacrifice their kids to the altars of Baal. We've turned, we worship all the false gods. He said, we've rebelled against you. He said, we've departed from all your precepts, from your commandments, your judgment. He said, and even when you sent your prophets to warn us of what was happening, he said, we never listened to them. So Daniel started praying all these things and interceding before God. And as he interceded before God, God sent the angel to speak to him. And Daniel got revelations of what was going for all of history right up to when Jesus comes. When you study the Bible, C.L. Hodges like to talk about the 400 silent years from the end of the book of Malachi to the beginning of Matthew. And they were not silent years. You could read everything about these 400 years in the book of Daniel. So accurate. The wars between the king of Assyria, the wars between Pharaoh and Egypt, their battles, their coming and going, their alliances. It was all there. Daniel had the revelations. Daniel's got the revelations of the nations are going to come against Israel now that God has brought his people back from the four corners of the world. Daniel gives us all the revelations of what's going to come until Jesus comes back. So as he humbled himself, as he sought God's face for his nation and for the people to be, because of 70 years, God heard him and God comes and ministers to him and God grants him great revelations. Then we have Ezra. Ezra 9:5, from onwards is the prayer of confession. But in Ezra he said, I think it's verse 6, said, oh my God, I am ashamed and I'm blushed to lift up my head, my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. And then as you read through that chapter, it's a prayer of confession of the willful turning from God, their wickedness, their rebellion. But a great thing happened under the ministry of Ezra. Because under the ministry of Ezra, they brought out the word of God. And we often talk about the scripture, if my people humble themselves. But one of the greatest revivals came with Ezra when he brought out the word of God. And he read the word of God in front of the people. And the people stood for hours listening to that word. And the word of God penetrated the hearts of the people. And a great revival came. Great move of God's Spirit. Because the man here took the place of the people and interceded and prayed for the people. And identified himself with the sin and the wickedness, how he was ashamed, how he couldn't lift his face to the Lord because of the sin. And then you go to Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against you. We have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which you gave to your servant Moses. And Nehemiah follows in the path of all these great intercessors, saying, we have followed your ways. We have turned from your ways. We have been after our own selfish desires. We have corrupted ourselves. And the Bible tells us, you notice in verse 7, Nehemiah does four things. He weeps, he mourns, he fasts, and he prays. And he seeks the face of the living God. Four people. David for himself. Daniel because the time of captivity was coming to an end. Ezra because he now had moved back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, because Nehemiah, he came and his countenance was long before the king of Babylon. And he got permission to go to Jerusalem and to see the rebuilding of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. But notice in Daniel chapter 9 and in Ezra chapter 9, the prayers may begin with a confessing of sin, and they include themselves and the transgression of the people and of their national leaders. And so it's very all-encompassing. It's all-encompassing when they start with themselves, they do it nationally, they encompass everything. And so we hear the cry that goes up, "We have sinned, both I and my father's house." And each of these people, they knew how to pray. And each of them got great answers to prayer. David got forgiven and became the greatest king in Israel. Daniel got the greatest visions of any man in Scripture. Ezra seen one of the greatest revivals in Scripture. And Nehemiah had favour with the king and was sent back to restore the walls of Jerusalem and to see it rebuilt again. Everyone got major answers to prayer. Now look at what happened. None of them lived in good conditions. None of them lived in a time or had a generation behind them that were great. Such wickedness, impurity, immorality, sacrificing to false gods, worship, everything pulling down the name of the Lord God. But yet when they humbled themselves and prayed, God heard from heaven. Now we live in a day, people look around. Do you know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20? It says, "There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and does not sin." He said, there's no just man. And what the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "I've lived a long time." He said, "But I noticed two things. You've got righteous people, good people, honest people." He said, "And you've got wicked people." Mm. "You've got evil people." He said, "You've got the two of them. They grew up beside each other. I've seen it in my life." We look around, you see, because in every generation you will get those who are good and righteous and those who are evil and wicked. But even in these times, God still hears and still answers prayer. Because the Word of God tells us nothing is impossible for Jesus. Nothing is impossible for our God. And the Bible also, if you were reading 1 Kings in chapter 8, where it says, "For no man that sinneth not." It says, there's no man that didn't sin. And it's a whole chapter on repentance and how the land can be healed from the wickedness. And so as we come today and we look at these people, that's just to encourage us. If they can pray and fast and seek God's face, humble themselves, take the place of the sin of the nation and of the people, and intercede before God to get answers, that means that we can do the same and get answers.
Yeah.
Because God's no respecter of persons. He is always looking to see where is somebody that's going to stand and intercede. Where is that person that's going to pray for the people? God is always looking. And he gives us examples of men and women who were in difficult situations, just like us. Looking and seeing the morality and chaos and the wickedness all around us. And God says, look at how they got answers to prayer. And there's an old hymn, "What I've done for others, I will do for you." What I have done for others, I will do for you. Because God is good. And his desire is for us to come and seek his face and return to his ways. And he will heal the land. He will bring change and transformation. He will move by his Spirit. And when he moves, every force out of hell, every demonic spirit, every stronghold, everything that opposes himself crumbles. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who has all power and all authority in heaven and on earth and below the earth. All of hell trembles when the name of Jesus is proclaimed.
Yeah.
Hell trembles when people start to walk in the anointing and power of God. Look at it in the Gospels. We know who you are. When people were ignorant who Jesus was, the demons were crying, "We know who you are, Jesus. You're the Son of the living God."
Mm.
They trembled. So let us be people who take hold of the word, learn from people's past experiences, follow their steps, and pray and intercede, take hold of the word of God so that we will see God move and bring change to this nation and to other nations around the world. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you don't leave us in ignorance, but you've given us your word. We learn from your word, we stand in your word, and we declare, Father, your word is truth. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word endures forever. And we choose this day to stand on your word and to proclaim your word, that it is truth. So we now pray, Father, your blessing upon everyone here and those watching until we meet again in the name of Jesus. Amen.